I do always read Lonely Hearts column. Well, I don't always read them from start to finish, but do you not find yourself occasionally looking at a Lonely Heart column? You do, don't you? You do. Yeah, yeah. You can't help it, can you? Look at, you know, four women, and it's got all these things.
And you think, shall I? Yeah.
You do, though. You do. You do. Okay, and you're glancing down it because you're hoping that there's one that's going to really be aimed at you. You know,
what
you're hoping
it's going to be. GLTM.
I don't know what any of those abbreviations stand for. I haven't got a clue. What does that? What was that one?
I don't know that one. I made that up.
ELF.
FSH, full service history.
Is it?
Yeah.
GSOH.
Good sense of humour.
Yes. WLTM.
TV.
Oh, yeah. Have you noticed, though, what a lonely bunch of people walkers are? Because
ramblers, do you mean?
Well, no, it's just that whatever you see, you if you read the men ones, because I sometimes do to see what sort of men there are out there who think that they're going to get a good, you know, night in the sack as a result of spending 15 quid on a Lonely Hearts advert.
Yeah.
And nearly all of them include, nearly all the men who place an advert in Lonely Hearts say that amongst their hobbies is walking.
Oh.
No, you check it out,
Walk. That means they don't really do much.
Hobbies, walking, wine, and...
I mean, walking...
Theatre! That's it! They say walking, hobbies include walking, wine, and theatre.
Yeah.
Mm.
53. I mean, walking shouldn't be a hobby. It's something you do as a sort of task.
Oh, but these are people who walk.
For a hobby.
They're people who walk. These are people who walk who have plastic things around their necks with maps in them.
Ramblers.
And boots.
Those ramblers.
Yes. 0800 40 50 60. Let's go to line 4. We're taking calls live, unscreened. If you're calling the show, you won't go via producer before you go to air. You'll either be waiting to go on air, and then suddenly on air, such as call for line 4. Hello, line 4.
Hi there, Tommy.
Hello there.
Hi. I was going to say, me and my friend are sitting here, and we're waiting for Fully Loaded to come on TV. Later on, and we're wondering if you're going to watch it.
Well, I'll probably be in the car whilst it's on. What time does it start?
I think it starts about 10 to 2.
10 to 2, no. What time does it finish?
Oh, 5 o'clock. It's on all day.
Oh, well, I'll catch a little bit of it then when I get home.
Pardon?
I'll catch a little bit of it when I get home.
Oh, right, yeah.
Cool.
Because I know you watch it a lot and that, so...
Very fun.
With your boys and that.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd just like to say, hi there, Ash, and how you doing?
He's actually slipped out.
Oh,
who shall I say called?
Grant.
Grant. I'll tell him Grant called.
Okay then.
Alright.
Alright then, thanks for that, Tommy.
Nice one, yeah, thank you for your call.
That's okay, anytime.
What a decent human being, fine. Future of the world is safe with, I trust the younger generation. Let's go to line 5. Line 5, you're live on, did you hear, where are you now, Ash? I can't see you. That was Grant for you. We'll go. Oh, I see. I've got it back. Ash has called me on my headphones. He's in another room printing up the emails. He says a big up to Grant. Let's go to line 5. Line 5, you're live on TalkSport. Hello.
Tommy.
Hello.
Do you reckon it's worth learning another language?
No.
Definitely not.
No.
No, neither do I.
Because you speak English, don't you?
I don't know what... Where did all the other languages come from, and who first started interpreting one to another?
Well,
how the hell could it have started to start with?
The scientific explanation is the Tower of Babel, as you know. You know that story?
No.
The people of Babel
decided
to try and build a tower high enough to reach heaven.
Yeah.
So, they did... But God got cross with them, knocked it all down, and cursed them by making all the people of Babel speak different languages. And they all had to go away because none of them could communicate with each other. So one man fell down off the Tower of Babel, and when he hit the deck, he was fluent in Portuguese.
The thing is, that's perhaps in the Bible and whatever, but it's not actually true, is it?
Oh, I don't know about that. You try telling a Seventh-day Adventist that the Bible is not exactly scientific and a handbook of fact.
Or say...
And you will have him on your doorstep all afternoon.
Yeah, say perhaps the Quran was the perhaps proper book, then would... I wonder if all the other books have got, like, a story similar to that.
I don't know.
Do they all run sort of along the same kind of lines and just cover every base?
Well, Desmond Morris points out this in his work, The Naked Ape. In all languages, the word for another person, okay,
yeah,
is formed by the lips moving away from your face. Do it. Make the word you.
Yeah.
Say it. Say you.
You.
As you go you, your lips push away from you, don't they?
Yeah.
Okay. That's the same in nearly every language. Right. Now, if you make the word for yourself, you will find that your lips come back and pull towards you. Me. Do you see that?
Yeah.
Okay. That's nearly the same in all languages. Similarly, right, with monkeys and apes, right, when they're thinking about the person opposite them, they push their lips forward.
Right. Ah.
They're not taught to say a you sound.
Yeah,
but they
just do what they're thinking.
When they're shown a mirror and they recognise that the image they see in the mirror is themselves, they pull their lips back.
That's amazing.
Me. So there is every possibility that language is pretty innate and predates humanity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would seem that way.
It could be.
Very interesting talking to you, Tommy.
Always very interesting talking to you.
Take care of yourself.
I will do that, and you do the same. What a nice man. That was mysterious for me, Ash, because you were in an entirely different part of the building, and yet I could hear you on my headphones.
Yeah.
Almost as though...
It was in quality as well, isn't it?
Yes.
Thing is, I heard it, and it seemed to be in a delay from when I was actually saying it, that you were receiving it.
Well, I can't explain anything.
That was very, very strange. Very strange.
I can't explain anything at all.
You can't have an opinion on that.
No.
You don't have enough knowledge or background into it.
No.
So you can't voice your opinion?
No, and I don't. I have very few opinions. One of the great things I'm doing is shedding possessions.
Yeah.
And opinions.
Really?
Gandhi only had 7 objects.
Oh, can I have your TV out then?
No, I'm hanging on to that for a bit.
Oh, is that one of the 7 objects you keep?
Yeah, hitting? Gandhi had a spinning wheel, a fountain pen, a loincloth, and a TVR. I made the last one up.
Huh?
Couldn't see him in the TVR.
No. Well, I could. Yeah, I think he'd look good in the TVR with that white robe fluttering.
Yeah.
That'd be good. Whizzing along, sorting out the world's problems.
At speed.
Mm.
At a lawful 69 mile an hour.
Yeah. I could see it.
0870-40-50-60, taking more calls live, unscreened, and at random. The dipstick into the sludge of humanity. Line 6, you're live on Talk Sport. Good morning.
Hello, Tommy. It's Jonathan from Cambridge.
Hello, Jonathan.
How are you?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
Well, it's actually something that struck a chord that you said earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually thinking about phoning you before you mentioned it, because I've been clearing out my room this evening and just going through all the all the cupboards and everything and just digging out a load of rubbish and all possessions I didn't even know I had, and old photo albums I didn't know I had and things, and just, I'm amazed at the amount I've managed to hoard in such a sort of short period of time, and it was just amazed me that you mentioned it, and seemed quite spooky, and wonder what your thoughts were.
Well done for having a good old clear out.
It's just I found myself at a loose end, but it just seems so spooky that
We do have a load of rubbish, don't we?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm still young, and so someone's saying I have collected a vast amount of paraphernalia. Really.
Paraphernalia?
Indeed. It's all sorts,
crap.
You know, from old magazines to... And I've got a computer, so I've got all sorts of old CDs.
Things that you've bought that if you'd had all the money, instead of all the things that you've bought over the last 5 years...
Oh, definitely, I'd be a millionaire by now.
You could have a year off.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I'm just imagining that now, you know, on a nice beach on some lagoon somewhere, just, you know, with Claudia Schiffer or something.
Would it be Claudia Schiffer?
I don't know, maybe all of the calls except the male one.
See, I think Claudia Schiffer would probably be a bit of a a whinge bucket.
Yeah.
I don't find her that attractive, to be honest.
Oh, she's all right, isn't she?
She's all right, obviously.
She's a bit... Well, I hate to say she's a bit old, considering I'm such a wee bear.
Well, what age are you?
I'm 21.
Well, you need a 40-year-old woman.
Yeah.
I'm serious. That's what I did when I was your age. I went out with a very famous... I'm not going to say her name. Actually, she was in her 50s. And it was fantastic.
I bet it was.
It was.
Oh, it, God. You know,
very educational. But the point I'm making is that Claudia Schiffer on a desert island would be a bit of a whinge bag. She'd always be going on. What you'd want on a desert island would be...
Someone a bit less perfect. Someone a bit more...
Someone a bit more... Who's that who's the heptathlete?
Denise Lewis.
Yeah.
Oh, she's rather foxy. Yeah.
And she wouldn't be a whinge bucket.
No. I see what you mean. I mean, yeah. I do tend to go more for the sort of girl next door kind of.
Say it again?
I do tend to go for the girl next door kind of.
The girl next door type. I like the girl next door type.
You know, a bit, you know, don't look a bit too perfect.
Supermarket checkout girls.
Yeah.
I like. Do you do that? Do you ever go to the supermarket?
Yeah, occasionally.
You get all that row of, and it's always women. There's one young lad and maybe an old bloke.
Yeah.
But the rest of them are all women.
Mm.
And my wife always goes to the queue that's the shortest. Only we blokes don't, do we?
Of course not.
You know, they don't realise that. We go to the most attractive checkout girl every time. Even if there's a long queue for her. We don't bother. We try and pretend we're not noticing the length of queues.
They're cheeky, aren't they?
Well, you never get any conversation out of them.
Oh, you do?
It's good to try and flirt with them anyway.
It is. In Waitrose, they're trained to go, hello, when you arrive.
Yeah. Yes. They seem a bit sort of robotic, a bit sort of, I don't know, a bit
it's a dull job, isn't
it? It's a bit like the Stepford Wives. And
you go, these biscuits are nice, aren't they?
Is that what you say?
Yeah. And they go, oh, yeah. I go, lovely creamy bit in the middle. They go, ooh, cheeky. you know, it's sort of...
Well, I don't get very far with supermarket checkout girls anymore. Because of the age difference.
You've got to buy the right products to get them interested. Well,
but what I do is I always pretend I know how much my shopping basket is going to come to.
Really?
Yeah.
And do they get it wrong?
I sometimes do that. I do sometimes do the guessing game, you know, so I go, under £20, please, or...
Yeah.
I try and keep up with the till, adding in my mind.
But Ash, you were saying that certain products, you know, gain more attention and interest from them. You know, what sort of did you have in mind?
Like maybe a red pesto sauce, a good selection of fresh vegetables.
A nice red or white wine?
Maybe an exotic... not wine, no. Exotic fruits.
Isn't it nerve-wracking when you've got a lady in front of you with her shopping basket and she's got the following in it, right? A big loaf of sliced white bread, a big pot of artificial cream, and some cat food.
Yeah.
And that's all she's got.
Yeah, you do see a lot of that.
And you think, what ever? I mean, if that was you, she'd look at you as if you had no idea about nutrition.
Yeah. I mean, I've done that because, you know, I'm a student, and going to the local co-op, just when you're running low on certain items, and you're like... Do some sort of buy the weirdest permutations of sort of items, and like you're thinking, what must the people behind the counter be thinking? Mm. I mean, of course, I've worked, you know, behind the counter in a couple of different shops and things, and like you do get to meet a whole sort of cross section of life, and it's quite good. I mean, it'd be quite good for a sort of wannabe social study person or something. You know, you do get to meet all walks of life. And
you do. What are you studying?
History and politics.
I've got an email from Richard Brown in Southall. He says, Tommy, could you help me? I really need this question answered. How did William Shakespeare die?
Oh, God.
Do we know?
I'm afraid that's passed me by.
I think it might be a bit of a mystery.
If
it was a mystery, we'd know about it. I think he just got very old.
Yeah.
Well, 64, that's quite old in those days, isn't it?
Because
you know, I've often thought this, you know, how did they survive the winter? They got no heating. You have a, you know...
got fires, haven't they, with a chimney?
Yeah, but I mean, they've got no decent ventilation.
But they weren't so fussed about wearing animal skins back then.
Yeah, I know, but it's all, it must be, you know, you get, you get ill, you get flu-y, don't you?
Oh,
you
know, yeah.
And you go to your bed and you've got your electric blanket on and a nice
quilt. I get a whiff of winter, I get flu.
Yeah, and you get a nice quilt on you and you close the windows.
Hot baths.
You turn on the central heating. Have a hot bath when you want, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm amazed that anybody lived beyond about 40 in Elizabethan times.
Well, a lot didn't, though, did they?
Well, no, yeah. Didn't.
Although, I've sort of heard a few people say that... was it you that was saying that the Romans nicked the idea of central heating off us in the, when they came to try and conquer us?
I think it was a point that Ash was making, who knows a little bit more about the Romans than I do.
No, I...
was it you?
I do know about Romans, but I wasn't aware of their central heating.
But apparently they nicked it off us when they tried to come and...
I think it rings a bell.
Well, it doesn't make sense, does it, that the Romans, who live in a hot country, would come to
this country. I think it was you, Tommy, because I think that's the point you made.
It's not going to make any sense, is it? They're not going to bring us central heating. You know, all the way from Tuscany.
Yeah.
Where they... would they invent central heating in Rome? That doesn't work, does it?
The idea
doesn't work.
No.
And come to this country...
did you know the Vikings got to America?
Yes, I did.
Shores of North America.
I did.
Well,
Leif Erikson.
Someone was saying to me that the Irish actually Asian in descent. It's just that they only got as far as Ireland. They didn't get any further into Europe.
Who?
The Irish.
The Irish are what in descent?
From Asia originally. That's why you do get many with dark complexion. You know, dark sort of hair, darker skins, and sort of. It's an interesting theory.
About that. The Egyptians travelled to Cornwall throughout the about 5,000 years ago for a considerable period of time, because Cornwall was the main source, global source of tin.
Oh yeah.
So the Egyptians, the pharaohs, would send their chaps off to Cornwall to come back with tin, and a lot of the Egyptians liked Cornwall and stayed.
Oh, cool.
And that is why a lot of Cornish people look vaguely Egyptian.
Really?
Yes!
Is there any archaeological finds to be had in Cornwall?
I don't know about that. I don't think the pharaohs trusted their tin sailors with any important artifacts.
Did they not have any pots?
No, well, they may have done.
Well, where are they?
Well, they're deteriorated by
Why?
Tin does tend to rust, doesn't it?
No, but they had...
tin. Yes, exactly, tin rusts.
They didn't have tin, they had, like, stone...
Actually, that's a point, isn't it? Wouldn't tin rust if it was in the ground? How can you mine tin?
Tin doesn't rust. Iron rusts.
I think it's only when it gets exposed to the air.
No, tin doesn't rust.
Because it oxidises.
Tin does rust.
No, iron rusts.
It's when it's underground, it's sealed, and when you expose it to the air, it starts to rust, because it oxidises.
Yeah, but your tins in your cupboard don't rust.
They do.
It's because they're electroplated or whatever. But
I don't know. Three blokes, none of whom know anything, having a conversation.
About anything in particular. Fantastic.
I'll tell you what, I was watching, it's fantastic. I was watching a programme on ITV at lunchtime, and it was called Trevor MacDonald Meets the Newsmakers. And who was it?
Who was on it?
Neil Bloody Morrissey.
Oh, I turned off when that he was on.
After the break, I speak with a man who became a cult.
Talks about his haircut, didn't
For drinking and chasing women.
Yeah.
Neil Morrissey. I thought, the Newsmakers, how does that work?
And who else was on it? Anne Widdicombe.
No. Norman Tebbit.
Oh, Norman Tebbit. Yeah.
Norman Tebbit!
Yeah, and who else was it?
And
the news was back in about 85.
I know. And the Mrs. .com woman.
Oh, yeah. The one from that. Lastminute.com.
Yeah. Lastminute.com, which is worth about threepence.
Yeah. Will be very soon.
And that's your newsmakers.
Yawn, yawn, yawn.
They need to sack the producer and people who get guests, basically.
Terrible business.
Well, it's better than it being Carol Vorderman, anyway.
Sure, at least she's a newsmaker.
My favourite line in all of the Fries and Lorries I've ever seen was when Stephen Fry just suddenly sort of turns to Stephen Lorry and goes, thank you. Most of all, thank you for not being Peter Sissons. It's just a good line. Peter Sissons. What do you need Peter Sissons for?
I admire John Humphreys though. He's
no, I don't.
Oh, I think he can take a good politician to task.
Yeah, but he just thinks he has to. He's never interested in what they're saying. He's just interested in appearing to be belligerent.
I see what you mean, but it's sometimes good to see these politicians on the back foot.
Brian Walden was good.
Brian Walden, I like.
He's
Brian
very
Walden.
Good.
Is he still around? Is he still around? I don't know. What's he doing?
I think he's still researching for TV programs. I don't know if he presents any anymore.
He did present a really good program once where he didn't script it. He just talked to camera. Did you ever?
Oh, it was about Churchill or something, wasn't it?
Yes, I think it was.
It was very good. Yeah.
Very
good. It's all a biography of Churchill.
Very good. So anyway, the short answer is no, we don't know how Shakespeare died.
Oh, well. No, I wouldn't know. I'm strictly more of a modern sort of historian, political historian, I have to say. Anything sort of pre-1900 as well, I sort of lose interest, sadly. I've sort of been looking at my dissertation next year is going to be on...
Supposing we found out, actually, that there wasn't any history. Supposing... It turns out later on, just like they found out that the Earth is not flat.
Yeah.
And then they found out that the Earth is not the centre of the universe. Supposing they found out the history wasn't like that. It's perfectly possible.
Yeah.
What proof has anybody actually got that there ever was a Queen Victoria?
Just a tomb somewhere with a bag of bones in it. In theory, anyway.
Does that exist?
Well,
how do we know there was Henry VIII? It's all handed down.
I'm dubious about carbon dating, to say the least.
I'm dubious about carbon dating. I prefer the tree ring thing.
Yeah.
Much better.
Chris Ashley just gave me the answer for Shakespeare, the rumours. Well, you know, he died on his birthday.
All right.
And apparently the rumour has it that he had a bit of an excessive night of revelling.
Oh, excellent.
And, you know, he was 64 and so...
Well, that's the way to go.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Go out with a bang rather than a whimper.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, it's been great talking to you.
Bit like Presley, really. Elvis Presley and William Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Both died creatures of excess.
Indeed.
Fantastic.
All right. Nice to speak to you.
Yeah, thank you for your call. I really enjoyed it. What a nice man for a student.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I don't mean that for a student. I mean, what a nice man, you know, a student. That's what I meant. 08700 40.
No, I think you were right the first time.
Okay. Emails, very quickly. Paul Roberts has emailed from Birmingham. Jesus, Muhammad and Krishna are perfected souls, so there is no reincarnation. They just return to the spiritual world after their shift is over. Ah, but then what about the Dalai Lama, who is also a perfect soul, but who just keep coming back for more?
Yeah.
You know?
You just can't stop coming back for more.
For more. It doesn't work, Paul. Susan has emailed from Cleveland. Hi, Tommy. I'm really pleased to have found you. I used to listen to you in the afternoon, and then you disappeared. Keep up the good work. I really enjoy listening to you. I'm one of the people who do get it. The only problem is listening to you is I'm very tired in the morning. Thanks, Susan. Bob Jones has emailed. Good betting tip is Millwall to win the Nationwide Second Division. I don't support them, I'm an Arsenal fan myself, but they look the most likely to win the Second Division, and bookmakers have got them at 9-1. Okay, we'll have a look at that. John Barson has emailed, Tommy, great show, I'd like to get hold of a copy of your intro track. It conjures up freedom, vastness, I'm sure it will help me relax when I'm feeling confused and fragmented. I wonder which one he means.
I think he means the one where you've been out with you could go out with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I could go out with Arnold Schwarzenegger and... Okay. Ewan McCauley, very quickly, has emailed from Orpington. You mentioned that if reincarnation exists, then someone must have been Jesus reincarnated. Well, no.